This Week in Health with Dr. Declan Matthews, kindly sponsored by the Clockgate Pharmacy.
Good afternoon. I'm joined by Dr. Declan Matthews for our latest COVID interview. Right, we'll get started there straight away. Declan, Johnson & Johnson has been approved. Will this speed up the process and are we delighted with this result?
Absolutely. Johnson & Johnson, it's great because it's a one shot and that's it. I don't think there's a lot of it in the country yet, but hopefully within the next month or so, there will be an awful lot of it. But the fact is, like, if as a one shot, it's absolutely brilliant, because if you got 500,000 of them, that's another 500,000 people done, you know.
And it's for over 50s.
Yeah, it's for over 50s. There was a problem noted in the States that about 1 in 1 million people got this unusual clotting disorder as well. But really, that's no reason not to get it. 1 in 1 million is a tiny. Compared to your chances of dying if you get COVID, which is huge, it's 1 in 700. I don't know the exact figures, but it is huge. 1 in 1 million chance of dying if you get any of those vaccines. And it's worth doing.
Okay. What is the change now for people who have already had COVID? There's some kind of change at the vaccine?
Yeah, there is. And this is great news as well, because I think it's 250,000 people in the country have had COVID so far, something like that. All they will need is a single shot, booster shot of any of the vaccines. Although it'll be most likely the Pfizer one, I think, but that's because of the different age groups and that. All they'll need is a single shot and that will be them done, because being exposed to COVID initially sort of boosted your immune system against COVID, and then you give the first shot of the vaccine and that really gets your immune system right up.
Okay, and we were saying about the AstraZeneca, there's a 12-week gap between the first and the second.
There is a 12-week gap. That may go out to 16 weeks. It may even go out to 20 weeks between the first and second dose. That does not mean that you have to wait 12 or 16 weeks before you're safe. After the first dose, after 4 weeks after the first dose, you are 80% chance of covered. You know, so it's really good from that point of view.
Okay, you were vaccinating yourself in the surgery yesterday. How did that go?
It went really, really well. It was a lovely way to spend an afternoon, and it's not always you can say that when you're at work. Everybody was in great form. Everybody was delighted to be getting it, and it went really well, and no problems and no hassles and no worries, but it was a really nice afternoon.
So is your feedback mostly positive? People are happy to get it?
Absolutely. I mean, occasionally you will get somebody who sort of says, no, I'd prefer to wait, and that sort of stuff. We are getting phone calls from the people in their 60s who sort of say, look, I don't want to take the AstraZeneca, can we get Pfizer off ye? And we have no say over that. We just get what we get, we know who we have to give it to, and that's it. So we have really no discretion.
Okay, and you're not vaccinating the 60 to 69 year olds, even if they have underlying conditions, they must go on the online portal.
Exactly, and they must do, yeah.
Okay, and just speaking of the online portal, more than 220,000 people aged 60 to 69 have failed to register for the vaccine. Is this because of hesitancy, do you think?
It's difficult to know if it's because of hesitancy would be one thing. People might have a fear of the vaccine. And, you know, if you have a fear of the vaccine, it's worth discussing it with somebody to see what your actual fears of the vaccine are. Because, as I say, the instance of sort of getting one of these fatal clots is tiny. And we now have treatment for these clots if they're recognised. So even from that point of view, things are even better than they were, you know.
Okay. And pregnant women are now also been prioritised for vaccine. Do you think this was a good idea?
Yeah. I think that had to come. They had noticed there was about 5 or 6 miscarriages in early pregnancy with people who got COVID, and they sort of traced this down to COVID affecting the placenta, the afterbirth. It's been noticed mainly in Ireland. It hasn't been noticed in a lot of other countries yet, but I think it probably will be. It's only a matter of time. We do keep an eye on these sort of things fairly well in Ireland. So pregnant women will be advised to get it. They will not get it between about 13 weeks. Sorry, they'll get it under 12, 13 weeks, they will not get a vaccine. And after 30, 32 36. Weeks, they won't get a vaccine.
36, I think they're saying, is it?
I think it's 32. Oh, it's the last. It's the last while. And really, the main fear of that is if you give them the vaccine and then they get a reaction to the vaccine and they're near delivery time. So it's better to get it in between. And they advise that people discuss it with their obstetrician. One slight problem with that is not everybody anybody will have seen an obstetrician by 13 weeks. Do you know what I mean? If somebody comes to us and they're 7 or 8 weeks pregnant and we book them for a hospital appointment, it could be sort of 14, 15 weeks before they get there. So, but look, this will all be worked out. But I do think it's very, very good. And I know people might say, oh, you know, pregnant women, should they really get a vaccine? We have been giving the pertussis vaccine to women for many years now, and we've been giving the flu vaccine to women for even longer.
Okay. I know there is a little bit of talk. People are saying, oh, if you're pregnant, stay away because you don't know what's in it. So you totally disagree with that?
I totally disagree with that because they may know not what's in it, but everybody else knows what's in it.
Okay. Yeah. A walk-in test centre has now been opened in the All GA Club, and I think that'll be open next week. And what is the criteria for people to go there?
Yeah, it's opening for Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's basically for anybody who wants to be tested. But you are not to be symptomatic. If you have symptoms, you do what we normally do. You phone your GP, he will arrange testing for you. Nobody wants you rocking up to a testing centre with symptoms where you're likely to pass it on. And I think that's vital.
Okay, and also if you're not a close contact, you can't be a close contact.
Yeah, I think if you have somebody who's symptomatic and they'll be tested through the other system. It's people who really don't feel they have it, but not 100% sure, but they just like to be sure, you know.
And the reasoning for this?
The reasoning for this is, as you know, and as everybody knows, we've had a bit of an outbreak in Youghal, and it's sad in one way. It was probably to be expected in another way because it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher to stick to the rules. But we've had an outbreak in Youghal, and it's really to close that outbreak down as quickly as possible. You get people in, you mass test them, you will pick up some positives, you get them to isolate and everybody else can move around.
So it's really to root out the asymptomatic cases.
It's to root out the asymptomatic
cases. And there has been a lot of asymptomatic cases in other pop-up centres around the country.
There has. I wouldn't say a lot, but there have been some. But remember, if you've two or three people walking around asymptomatic, passing the virus on to everybody else, they don't know they're doing it, but they're passing the virus on to everybody else. It's important to identify these people and to deal with it.
Okay, we'll leave it at that and we'll chat again soon. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Liz.